The Nannies by Sam McHugh. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, transmitted in any form, by any means electronic, mechanical, photocopying, recording, or otherwise without the prior written permission of the publisher and author. Any resemblance to any person, either living or dead, or actual events are a coincidence. Chapter 1, Mrs. Magoo. Being pronounced husband and wife by the governor of your state isn't for the faint of heart. At our wedding ceremony, Sandy and I greeted nearly 60 people, state officials, family members, my dad's staff, and the governor's staff, and we all crowded into the governor's reception office, which is typically used to greet other governors and the president. Once the governor had introduced us to our friends as a married couple, she wanted to take Sandy and I, along with our parents, out to dinner. We had a wonderful time. Beef Eater was crowded, but we managed to get a table for seven. Since the governor was the host, no one asked to see my driver's license when I ordered wine. Sandy was talking with the governor about an education initiative, then winding its way through the state legislature. Since Sandy was the incoming principal of a large high school, the governor seemed keenly interested in what she had to say. One of the big issues, teacher testing. "I'd be first in line to take the test," Sandy said, "and as I see it, there's no reason why any teacher wouldn't." The governor found Sandy's attitude fascinating, particularly since the state teachers' lobby had come out the day before vociferously opposing teacher testing. "When you get back from your honeymoon," the governor said, putting her arm across the back of Sandy's chair, "please call me and let's have lunch." Sandy didn't know whether to be flattered or charmed, but my dad assured her she should be neither. The governor wanted to mine Sandy for information. Of course, Sandy would be happy to help. The governor would not be seeking re-election, and the conventional wisdom held that my dad would be a tough candidate to beat. Maybe that's why Sandy and I were not particularly surprised to find a television truck waiting for us when we pulled into her driveway about 8 o'clock. The reporter wanted to do a stand-up in Sandy's living room with the lieutenant governor's son and his new bride. We politely declined, ducked inside, and shut the door. On our wedding night, Sandy insisted on giving me a bath. She'd taken a shower first and said she saw no reason to abandon what had been our long-standing evening routine just because we were married. Thankfully, we could still talk to each other like adults. That had long been part of the tradition as well. "So Nono," I asked, "how does it feel to be giving your husband a bath?" "I don't think it's really registered yet," Sandy replied, then added, "but don't think that means you can get away with splashing." "Darn," I said to no one in particular. I really did not want to be paddled into tomorrow on my wedding night. "Do you want a diaper tonight, baby?" Sandy asked. She had never asked before. I shook my head. We slid into bed completely naked, rare for us, and cuddled until we fell asleep. When I woke up about 6 o'clock, Sandy still had her arms wrapped around me. Even naked and asleep, Sandy was still babysitting me. I got up and had some cereal for breakfast, and then Sandy and I slipped out for a run through our neighborhood. When we got back, we planned our first day of married life. We wouldn't leave on our honeymoon until the next afternoon. "Let's go hit after lunch," Sandy said, meaning tennis, "and then we can go by the office for a few minutes." She was still settling in at school. My mom called, offering to drive us to the airport the next day. We accepted the offer, and Sandy always looked forward